will now convene our October 11, 2011, City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings to order. At the outset, I have reviewed the minutes of the August 23, 2011 meeting and have approved them. And I've reviewed the minutes of our September 13, 2011 meeting and have, and often find them to be in order. And before we proceed to this morning's agenda, will those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach who will be testifying at this morning's proceedings please step forward and be sworn?
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
All right, with that, we'll proceed to case number one, Vandal of Daytona Incorporated. Okay, don't see a respondent. That's unusual. What say the city?
I can't. I just got back from extended leave today. I do know before I left that they had made quite a few changes, so I know they are working on it, and I know they're diligently working on it, but I would like to amend it to the next cutoff.
Okay. Are you standing there for a reason?
Oh. If there was anything else we needed to add, I was just here, Mr. Ketcher.
Okay.
We kind of adjusted our presentation methods a little bit.
So I've been informed. Anxious to see it. All right, very good. Based on the report of our inspector, I will amend our current order of noncompliance. And how much additional time do you think would be reasonable?
Their big issue was the driveway, and until I talk to them, I don't know, but let's amend it to the next cutoff, and we'll have a full report next time.
All right, then I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondents until November 2, 2011 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number two, Melissa Beth Turkish, I have as being in compliance. Case number three, Hollywood Heights LLC, I have as being in compliance. Case number four, Terry and Russell W. Clonch. Is there anyone here for the respondent? If not, what say the city?
We're amending to the next cutoff, allowing them a little more time. They're making a lot of progress, as you can see. In the next photos, they added the stucco, and then they're going to paint the exterior, and that would complete it. These are the previous ones. This is the updated ones.
Very good. All right. Based on our inspector's report, I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until November 2, 2011 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number five. Flippo Properties LLC. Anyone here for the respondent?
Come on, this side. So join that side.
Kim Heller for the respondent. Huh? No. So we think we have a resolution, at least a temporary resolution. So I'll let the city talk.
All right. Well, I'm all for resolution. Something we want to announce?
Yes, Sean. This is the old B&B fishery, I guess it was called, if I remember right.
Yep.
Off of ISB. And it's a vacant building. They have some circumstance now where they're in transition and selling the building. They have some contract at this point, Mr.
Yeah.
If you could explain that.
Sure. Well, it closed. When did it close?
Oh. Well, we just hired a brand new contract owner.
Just
right
tell
now.
Me when the building closed. When the business closed.
Oh, the business closed? It's been several years ago.
Well, anyway, the business closed several years ago. Been trying to sell it ever since. It's been off and on trying to get it sold. We're now we got a contract. It's unsigned yet. My client's talking about taking the building down. In fact, he's already started that process. But getting the thing sold is going to be a complicated deal because you got to get other parcels. The buyer wants to have other parcels, which are not owned by my client, to also be sold. So it takes a while to get the thing sold, bottom line. And the but during that process, I mean, we're working diligently on it. We're trying to keep the thing either decent, we're going to take the building down, one or the other. And so we're not just sitting. We're not just sitting on the thing.
No, Mr. McCouncher, Mr. Heller, Attorney Heller has spoken with Danny, with the inspector, and 60 days is what we're asking right now for compliance. We realize it may take a little more time than that, so we're asking for a progress report for the next meeting, and then see where they are, and hopefully they can have this taken care of in 60 days. Is there any more?
Yeah. They're in the process. They applied for a demo, but it can go either way, where they have a new contract that's for sale. So we want to see where it turns out, if they sell or not. If not, then he's going to demolish, which will put him in compliance. As of now, he's secured, done pretty much everything I told him except for the paint issue, and still having to do furthermore because of the sale. We want to see how that turns out. If I can get a progress for next month.
Okay, well, I've heard bits and pieces about what the future holds in response to whatever it is we're doing right now, so why don't we back up? What is the plan here?
Okay, the plan, well...
So that when this comes back, I'll have an idea what we're talking about.
We're talking about either bringing in compliance with the painting or demolition, one or the other.
That's a huge gap there.
That's a fact. But either way, we'd be in compliance. That's really, I think, the bottom line for the magistrate here. So that's really where the plan is. We're going to be in compliance within the 60 days, one way or the other. And, you know, unfortunately, because of the nature of the deal, it's complicated. We don't know.
What is the deal?
The deal is to sell the property. We're trying to sell the property. He's trying to sell the parcel.
And it sounds like it's part of a bigger plan?
That's correct. The buyer wants several parcels. I think it's four?
Three. Just mine and two more now.
Three, maybe his and two more, which are all owned by.
What's the buyer going to do with these parcels?
Build a bank? Build a bank is what we've been told. We don't really know. We've been told he's building a bank.
Bank. Okay,
some
cool.
Kind of bank.
All right. So you're telling me that somewhere down the road, we might be looking at this being one of a number of parcels being involved in a significant improvement to what
Correct.
We're looking at right now.
Correct.
Which the special magistrate's always happy to hear, and it invokes generosity. Right, as opposed to just muddling along and maintaining the status quo and doing the minimum that's necessary to keep it in compliance, which does nothing but keep you out of trouble.
Correct.
So that's the lay of the land.
We are, in fact, trying to make this deal. We're trying to make the city better. I mean, that's really what we're
trying
to do.
Understand that, and I'm happy to hear it. All right. With that, based on the report of the, based on the presentation of the respondent, based on the report of our inspectors, I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent 60 days, that's December 7th. 60 days is never 60 days around here. So how close are you cutting it?
We're going to need, I mean, to get the deal done, we're going to need more time. We'll be in compliance by then, but we're going to need more time to get the deal.
I'm not worried about the deal done.
Right.
It sounds like demolition's part of the bigger program.
That's correct.
So the question is, December 7th, it's not a full 60 days if that's what you were looking for. I just want to make sure everybody understands that.
Let me...
With a progress report of 30.
I'll get you that. I'm not worried about that. I just want to make sure that if we're cutting it close here at 60 days, he's not really getting 60 days.
We might need more time than that, Your Honor. Realistically.
Save the city.
But we're okay with progress as we go along.
Right.
Progress report's going to happen.
Okay. What we're talking about is demolition. And I don't, right now, we don't know of anything that would make it a... there's no asbestos or anything that would
well,
or
we don't. We don't know.
Overwhelming. Yeah, this point. Right now, it's a standard demolition. 60
that.
Days would seem reasonable. I'm looking at something that was handed to me by Mr. Heller.
Yeah, we just got that report from the demo guys asking, trying to figure out if there is asbestos.
Okay, so they're just saying they're uncertain at this point.
But we would ask for a little more time if the city's
All right,
not.
I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by January 11. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong year. Come into compliance by January 4, 2012, and or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter, and that the respondent return to our November 8, 2011 meeting for a progress report.
Right, and just also maintain the landscape.
And in the interim, it's understood the exterior is to be maintained, the property is to be secured to city standards.
Correct.
And what have you. All right, does that cover everything?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 6, OPC Investments, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
This one I had recent contact with, so I'm asking to amend. He's actually got a rental inspection due Wednesday, tomorrow at 11 a.m., so with give him more time for that inspection so he can get the auto license and be in compliance.
All right, I will amend our current order based on our inspector's report. I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until November 2, 2011 to come into compliance and will be returned to the special magistrate for the imposition of the $250 fine for failure to obtain occupational license. Case number 7, Frederick and Sabrina L. Medever.
Okay.
Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Going over there.
There's no license on file. I have to check today. Still no occupational rental license.
Asking for the
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I find that the respondent is, of course, in non-compliance, failed to come into compliance, and with that will impose the administrative fine for the sum of $250 for failure to obtain occupational license, and I'm presuming that would be effective October 5, 2011. Case number 8. Again, Frederick and Sabrina L. Medever.
It's in compliance. Debris has been removed.
Very good. Thank you. Case number 9, Merrill Lloyd.
Do you have a compliance date?
Anyone here for the respondent?
Compliance date. We'll get it later.
All right, not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
The property remains in non-compliance. No application for and no issuance of occupational license.
All right, based on our inspector's report, I fine the respondent the sum of $250, effective October 11, 2011, for failure to obtain occupational license. Case number 10, Loggerhead Daytona Marina, LLC.
The 7th.
Tyson Waters, counsel for Loggerhead Daytona.
He says that they're
yes.
in compliance. The 3 violation dates are not there.
Yes,
Reynolds.
Okay.
There are 30 checks.
All right, I have this matter here for the imposition of a fine based on a will fine entered April 13, 2010. And who will be presenting the case on behalf of the city?
I will, sir.
All right, let's say the city.
Well, back in April of 2010, there was a will fine put in place. And since then, there were several complaints about the music. We went out several times. I guess patrol responded many, many times. I have all the CAD reports. But ultimately, they were only found in violation 3 of the times that patrol. Well, the ones that I have documented, there's 12.
All right, go ahead. That it?
Yes.
All right, and what exactly did you find when you went out there? What did you test and what did you find? And the reason I ask, and I'll be candid because, I don't know, maybe someone will want to recuse me, so to speak. I've been to, what's the name of the place?
Caribbean Jack's.
Caribbean Jack's. And I'm aware of the, what I call a little bit of friction between them and the neighbors that are 8 feet across from that canal or something to that effect. And to be honest, I've observed them appearing to be very conscientious about keeping the noise down. So I don't want to say that I'm biased, but I will say that inevitably, since I'm a resident of this community, I might know a little bit something about this, and I've been sensitive to it, having been here before. So
right.
That's why I was asking. So you've got three, you've responded 12 times, and
well,
you found on three of those occasions that you, I assume, took readings that exceeded something or other. And now I want you to describe those readings for me so that I can understand how significant they really are. And I'm not trying to diminish anything. I want to know. I mean, if all of a sudden they had Led Zeppelin appearing and banging away on drums, then they deserve to be fined. If, on the other hand, we're talking Shades of Gray, you know, then that's a little more difficult matter to wrestle with.
I pulled the CAD reports. I personally did not respond to any of the complaints. Patrol did. Unfortunately, they are not here this morning. Of the complaints, most of them are by the neighbors. It does document in the calls that the neighbors did their own readings. They have their own sound meter. But it also appears as if most of the complaints were done before 11, and a lot of the responses by patrol were done after 11. It does appear by the call that by each call that the band stops at 11. So a lot of the CAD reports do show that there was no music by the time the officer did get there. But the three violations that are documented in the notice were two dates that the captain told an officer to go down and do their own readings and contact the complainant. No reading was done, or the reading was done, however, no report was made on the very first one, which is July 1st. The next one shows July 3rd. I think that actually should read July 2nd, because the report, the email was sent the morning of the 3rd, so I'm guessing now that it's written, it should say July 2nd. That reading was shown in violation, and in the other one, there was a report made, a complaint was filed by the complainant, the neighbor, and that was July 15th.
Okay, when were the two readings taken that are the subject of this violation?
July 2nd and July 15th.
Okay, and July 2nd, what was the reading?
69-72.
Okay, and what is the limit?
60.
And how is this reading taken?
By the sound meter. It shows... the Sniper Range Finder is the name of the sound meter.
And I don't mean to sound like a DUI lawyer here, but how accurate are these things?
Well, we get them calibrated.
Okay.
So I'm guessing very accurate.
All right. And now, the difference between 60 and 70 sound-wise...
Let me clarify that. Let me clarify that real quick. You have to... Do you have the ordinance? I think I emailed you the ordinance. Just let me clarify that, please.
Okay.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Yes, it's 60. So, yes, it's significant. It's almost a 10... decibel range.
What does that mean?
It's louder.
Okay. All right. All right. Let me act foolish in front of you now. What do you have to say?
Well, we disagree, and I think we have a little bit different take on the history as well.
I don't need to hear the history.
Well,
talk about these two events.
Well, and that's what it is about the three events. I think the events were July 1st, we believe July 2nd, and the July 15th.
Okay.
July 1st and the 15th were based on responses to a complaint filed by the neighbor. And that's referenced in the police report where the reading was done by the neighbor, not
independently by the officer on the 1st and the 15th.
So you're telling me the readings on the 1st and the 15th didn't come from the police department, came from the neighbor?
Yes, sir. Right. And also we do have, I believe this is in the CAD reports, from the July 1st, there is a police entry, and at 10:47, his comment was, Caribbean Jacks is still within ordinance. And that was from the CAD file. And I believe the actual number of complaints that we were provided that were part of this project were 17. There's a list of dates that Officer Saragusa gave us of the reference complaints.
What does that mean?
Well, you asked the number of complaints that they were...
Does that mean our police department went out there 17 times?
Yes, sir. And here's a stack of the CAD reports. And I think some of them were as early as 8:30, some as late as just after 11. But most of them were, I would say, between 10 and 11. And none of those found Caribbean Jacks in violation. So I don't believe the 1st and the 15th, because they were done by the neighbor and not the police officer, are relevant here. But we do have the question of what the reading by the police officer, Sergeant Lance Blanchett, and this is referenced in an email that he provided to a Lieutenant Hoffman. And it appears that this was done, for whatever reason, on his own. And he went to three different locations, one being Caribbean Jack's. He took two readings that night. One was 33 yards from the front door, west of the front door, which is still within our property. And again, the ordinance says you have to be at least 100 feet off the property line. And that reading was 62 to 72 decibels. And then the other reading, which provides at the northernmost point of Mr. Smith's property, was between 60 of the neighbor's property, okay, was 68 to 74. But what's important here is that his comment that all readings were slightly louder than the ordinance. However, it should be noted the ambient noise was found to be at or above the ordinance's defined limit. And that's important because the code says, depending on the time of day, you can be either 5 or 10 decibels above that background noise. So what he's saying in this statement is the background noise was already above the ordinance level. So we can't tell whether or not we're within within that threshold above the background noise or not. And the other questions, we're not really sure about the date, because in his comment he does provide that he spoke to management at Caribbean Jack's asking them to turn down the music. I was greeted with professionalism and understanding from management, who advised they would do so. That conversation took place on July 1st, not July 2nd. So we're not sure exactly what the day was or really what time of day it was. If it was July 1st, then most likely it was when he went out there to do the inspection. If it was July 2nd, we don't know if it was before 10 or after 10, which is a threshold of determining whether or not you can be 5 decibels above the background noise or 10 decibels above the background noise. So I think, based on all the evidence that we've seen, that we've talked about, we are in compliance with the code. Every night we take readings. We monitor it very closely. We're continuing to make improvements to the site to minimize whatever outside noise there can be. Staff does monitor it, again, on the south side closest to the neighbor, as well as in the parking lot, taking readings periodically and modifying the speakers to adjust whatever noise is coming off that, again, to minimize it, to keep within the boundaries of the code.
Okay. And what is the city proposing in the way of a fine? Taking into consideration the gravity of the alleged violation.
Well, I believe you fined them in the past, and I know that typically you do a graduating fine. We're not necessarily asking at this point. What we're asking is just that you do fine them, and we were recognizing that there's a range between, and as you say, we don't have anyone clearly defining what that range is between 60 and 70. But we also have neighbors complaining, and as you pointed out,
what makes you think neighbors complaining should mean anything to me? How am I to assume these neighbors are even reasonable?
I understand that.
And why am I to give any credence to their readings?
Our desire would have been for them to be here and testify, and I don't know if they're here.
Right there, they can't wait to testify.
Okay, well, then that's what I like to do, bring them forward.
Bring them up if
no
you
one
want.
Told me that.
I'm going to get into it right now.
May I say one more thing before they testify?
Go right ahead.
Yep, sorry. Your section 42-216 sets forth the standard for how these measurements are made, and it requires that it be done by an enforcement officer. So I think the fact that these residents took a meter reading certainly is important for us as good neighbors to monitor the situation, but for a code enforcement hearing to determine whether or not there's a fine, I don't believe they're appropriate. I believe what's appropriate is the officer's testimony.
I understand.
And since the fact that he's not here to talk about the background noise issue, I think certainly there's issue in our belief that we are within the boundaries of the ordinance.
Very good.
Thank you.
Do you have anyone else you wanted to present?
Yes. All right, we'll ask for Mr. and Mrs. Smith to come forward.
Thank you. Patricia Smith.
Sir? Donald W. Smith.
Solemnly
swear or affirm that the testimony
you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but
the truth? Yes. Sir? This is our second
time. You've got to tell her yes. She didn't hear
you. Yes, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
This is the second time we're here. The first time was about a year and a half ago.
Almost, yeah.
Almost, yeah. We have, what did we receive? How was that settled?
There's a will find order. You know about that.
Yeah. We got the judgment. I guess that was the first time. And they gave me the song and dance that they would cooperate. And any time I called over there, they would turn it down or try to correct it, something like that. But it just didn't work out that way. The last time I called, they had a manager there, and I'd been calling him. And I said, it's too loud. According to my decibel meter, I've got a calendar of the times. And he said, well, I'm tired of this. I'll call my attorney. And to me, that was a threat, and that upset me. And
is it possible he felt you were harassing him?
What's that?
Is it possible he felt you were harassing him?
No, he just said, I need to call my attorney. And to me, that was a threat. He was going to start a lawsuit or something like that.
So, all right, go ahead.
That's about all you.
Okay.
Let me explain again. I did the first trip. I never bothered with it unless it was louder than my air conditioner and it was disturbing me. That was summertime. Or we keep our windows down all the time. When I can hear that music and I'm trying to read or listen to my own music, this disturbs me. When I've got all my windows down, I got good windows, good solid windows.
How far is your house?
It's 200 feet.
Is this the band that we're talking about primarily?
I'm sorry.
Is this a band that we're talking about primarily? The source of the noise.
I believe it's the music.
Yes.
Okay. Well, when you're saying the music, you talking about a stereo?
It's a band. It's a band.
Outside.
Outside. It's all outside. I'm exactly. My building is 200 feet away.
From the bandstand.
From the bandstand.
Okay.
Sir, these complaints, it sounds like a lot of them, 17 of them, but this goes back at maybe 20 months, you know, and I don't think that's unreasonable for us to ask for some help. Because at times, depending on the band, they get very loud. Now, sometimes on Friday night, the crowd is noisy, too. But as my husband says, when it really affects your life inside of your house and you can't even hear the TV, that's when we call the law enforcement, which I think is our right. We have owned that house for 26 years, and you know, the outside music was never supposed to happen, as far as I can remember. When the restaurant bar was started there, It's nothing that we ask for. We've tolerated it all these years.
We tolerated, and it was a beautiful piece of property, and this spoils it.
Well, it's still a beautiful piece of property.
Yeah, right.
If you wear your plugs.
I used to fish at night on the dock. I got a 60-foot dock, and I enjoyed it. But when this music started and all of that, it either scares the fish or it scares me off.
I feel that if we ignore this, things will just get louder and louder.
Well, nobody wants that to happen.
Yeah, thank you.
What we have to do though is we have to strike a balance between neighbors who are just that, neighbors, and one's a commercial enterprise and one's a residence. Mm-hmm. Okay? Fortunately, we don't have a whole lot of conflicts like this along the river, but we do have a few. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, for whatever it's worth, I'm not a regular patron, but I've been there a time or two. I'm aware of this. I see the way they have their stage set up. I see the way they have their band positioned. I see the way they do things, and they make a conscientious effort. Now, I'm not there 24 hours a day like you are, but I do see them making a conscientious effort on those few occasions in which I've been there to minimize the noise. And I even see, by the way the band plays, that they try to dampen the noise. I have no doubt, as they have bands coming in and out, that some are probably very fervent when it comes to adhering to the rules, and some are not, and that's the price they'll pay on those occasions in which they're not. I'm just trying to figure out how y'all can coexist, and I don't know that that's within my acumen.
Mr. Kelly, you're one matter. The prior agreement, and I say agreement, was the last time that they were here before the magistrate, was agreed that they would be able to call directly. And maybe that was overwhelming, but that they would call directly. I think they would give a personal phone number to call.
The management has changed, I believe.
Yeah, it's a different manager there.
And they would be responsive to their call and see what they could do to make adjustments if they had a specific complaint. And if that's something that this current management would entertain.
Another point I'd like to make, I have a nice yard, nice dock, and why should I be abused by outside music? I've been there 27 years.
You're talking to the wrong person. Come back here when the city commission's filling up these chairs.
Well,
it's not my call.
But as I'm saying, Mr. Bacalli, if that, at least get them back to that point where they're communicating and possibly they're responding directly to the complaints of these folks, maybe that would be something that would get them a lot closer to being able to coexist. Now, I don't know if it's the worst thing today.
All right, what do we have here at the end of the day? We have a policeman going out there making his own reading on one occasion and determining that the noise was excessive.
That's correct.
Is that agreed?
No, it's not. He took a measurement, but he made a caveat note that the ambient noise, the background noise, was at or above the ordinance limit. So he did take a reading, but he did not say there was a violation.
Yeah.
He said it took a reading, the background noise was at, I'm sorry, the background noise was at or above the ordinance level, and again, you've got a cushion above what that background noise is.
What is background noise?
Background noise is everything else. So you eliminate the music, kind of everything else. The goal is to take a measurement,
right,
to figure out what the normal noise is without the alleged violation. And then you take another reading with that alleged violating noise to see what the reading is. And the difference, you've got a threshold of what the decibels should be unless you determine background noise, and then you've got a cushion of 5 to 10 decibels above that background noise level.
All right. What does the city say in response to this?
Well, this is from Lieutenant Hoffman, the email, and it says all readings were slightly, just what he read, but we're referring now to three different businesses, and it's just a broad statement, and I'm not sure if that statement alone, and granted, ideally it would be us not sitting here trying to take inference from the hearsay we're actually having with the officer here. But that statement alone would, I see that he says Stingray was the highest above the ordinance level, but that statement alone, as he talks of ambient noise, and I'm expressing what that ambient noise was or what the reading was, really would tell us that we're how far above or below we are as it relates to the fire limits of the code. So, I mean, that's all we have. As I said, it would be, we know that the law enforcement officers are the ones that asked us to bring this forward, so they made a conclusion that there was a violation, despite whatever this statement may suggest or to Mr. Waters, they made a conclusion that there was a violation. That's when we came forward with that violation. Based upon the readings that they had made.
All right, I don't know anything about ambient noise. Are you agreeing with his analysis of the ordinance as far as ambient noise and this measurement having to exceed ambient noise by a certain threshold?
There is a certain threshold. I don't have the ordinance before me. Of course, I didn't bring that up, so do you have a copy?
But in any event, the officer's report doesn't go through the ambient noise versus...
Not expressing what that ambient noise was.
If I can read it to you, Your Honor.
Section 42-215, 10 decibels above background noise during the hours of 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., 5 decibels above background noise during the hours of 10 p.m. and 7 p.m.
And when was this reading taken?
We don't know.
We don't know when the reading was taken?
You're talking about reading was on the, this is on the second, on July 2nd. You're talking about?
Yeah, we think it was done July 2nd, but the time of day.
The time of day.
We don't know.
Because apparently
it doesn't say,
triggers a 10% versus 5%.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, whether it's 10% or 5%, we're not given the ambient, what that ambient reading is, to know what's its relationship to the decibel reading of the noise itself. He acknowledges that there is a consideration of ambient noise.
But who?
The officer.
The officer who's not here to testify.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we're
yes,
both relying on an officer who's not here to testify.
But it's your burden of proof.
Right.
I understand. I don't disagree, Mr. Kelsey.
So you're arguing that this reading is defective because it doesn't address various thresholds and precedents and details?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
And you're arguing that the officer, based on his experience, made the call and he's presumptively knowledgeable regarding these ordinances and the various variations along the way.
That's correct.
And when he made his reading was what?
Nice.
Was this the 69 to 72 or the 68 to 74?
I think it was.
From their book.
Yeah, 68 to 74.
And you're saying I would need to know the ambient noise?
Yes, sir. Again, his statement.
Because if the ambient noise is higher, that 68 to 74 reading may fall within the permitted tolerances above.
Yes, sir. If it was done at 9:30 and the reading was 65 decibels for the background noise, well, we could be 10 decibels over. So we're at 75. So even at the maximum, we were still within the ordinance limits.
However, it does say under subsection B, if the background noise cannot be measured in accordance with the standards of subsection A of this section, the noise level standard shall be as set forth in the following table. And then we go back to the levels that we were talking about, which all of them are below.
Yeah, those are the hard numbers, 60, 65.
The 60, 65 level from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m.
But again, based on his email, It would appear that he was able to determine ambient noise, the background noise, because he made a statement that ambient noise was at or above the ordinance level.
That's the suggestion of being...
Ambient noise was at or above the ordinance level, and the ordinance level is 60?
It's 60 or 65, depending on the time of day. So, and again, but I think the fact that we are having this discussion trying to infer what this officer said... It goes to a hearsay argument. He's not here to give definite, and so we're relying on assumptions to piece together what may or may not happen, and I don't believe that's sufficient to find a property owner.
Well, because if that was the only evidence, I'd ask if Ms. Smith, did you call on the July first date for the officers as part of a complaint?
Is that the date that we're dealing with?
We think it's July 2nd, and there is an entry.
I mean, on July 2nd date.
What date?
I've got a calendar and I try to keep it up, but yes, this is a project.
Okay, we talked of these three dates, July 1st date, July 2nd date, and July 15th date. To the July 2nd date, or did you call as a result of?
I have a 777 written down here.
Okay, that's from...
That was my decibel meter.
So you did a decibel reading?
I did it,
right.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
On that thing...
Could I say
sir.
One thing?
Hold on. Just one okay. Moment, so. Thank you. And from that, you contacted the police and had the police department notified as a result of
yes,
that
sir.
Reading. Okay.
Okay, I want to make one point. I always consider the noise, what it is. The crowd gets real noisy. I don't measure that. I know you can't control the crowd. If the fireworks are going off, I never try to take a decibel reading. It's always the band that I take a decibel meeting on.
Okay, thank you. I don't have anything further of Ms. Smith. My point, though, Your Honor, is that we're not relying solely on the hearsay of the officer. We have testimony of witnesses as well. And although they're not the official reading, your reliance on hearsay you can rely on hearsay in an administrative proceeding. You just can't solely rely on it. That's your sole basis of the finding. And here we do have cooperating testimony to that hearsay.
If I may, Your Honor, I mean, the one objection that I would have are there was no dispatch called on July 2nd. The records show there was a dispatch called on July 1st, which was the night before these apparent readings, and the police report says the reading was 74, but we do have a statement and entry at 10:47, a comment, Caribbean Jacks is still within ordinances. So there's your officer responding with the opinion that Caribbean Jacks is working within the ordinance. So I don't...
74?
No, I don't know how he made this determination. This is July 1st. When we have a dispatch call, we have a dispatch call on July 1st, and the next one being July 15th. And here we've got a statement on July 1st from a police officer's entry. Caribbean Jacks is still within the ordinance. So I believe on July 2nd, if this is in fact the date the officer went out there and took his own readings, it was independent of any testimony or any readings or others by any other resident or otherwise.
Okay. All right. Here's what I'm doing. I'm finding that the city's evidence is insufficient to sustain the violation. And having said that, now I'm going to talk for a minute. Because I've heard a couple things here along the way that cause me some concern. And one of the things I've heard that causes me some concern is the residents contacting the restaurant and being told by another manager, perhaps a different manager, that he's tired of this, he's going to call his attorney. And when I hear that, what that brings to mind is all the times that we would put will fines out there on car lots for parking cars right on top of the street, and then every time a new manager came in, the same violation would occur. And they would assure us that the new manager would not let it happen again, or that it would not happen again. And then 3 months later, we'd have a new manager, and darned if it didn't happen again. So what I'm saying is, you neighbors need to coexist. That's as much as I'm going to lecture there. But what I'm going to go on to say is, I am not going to fine Loggerhead on the basis of these violations today. If and when the time arises that these people's complaints and the city's response and their presentation coincide, then you're going to get hammered. That's not today, but I'm just telling you this because the point I want to make is I don't care how many managers you go through. I don't care how many different people are in charge. You have to counsel them on the fact that you all need to coexist. You're on top of one another. You're never going to mix. You're oil and water, but you need to coexist. These people have a difficult burden in trying to come in and demonstrate this kind of a violation. Okay? They know the violation is happening. Their common sense tells them the violation is happening. But the difficulty they're confronted with is to come in and call the police, get the police out there, have the police there at when they need to be there with the equipment, everything calibrated, everything working, and then take the reading that they need in order to show that y'all have violated anything. That is a Herculean burden, and I'm sensitive to the fact that that's what they have to do in order to demonstrate that. The law that I'm governed by says they haven't done it today, okay? But that's not to say they're not going to do it in the future. And if they do, and if I find that Loggerhead has violated the noise ordinance, and heaven forbid that should coincide with more testimony about managers, you know, being flippant with them or insensitive to them, I'm not suggesting that happened. I'm just saying I'm hearing testimony to that effect. But if those things should all coincide, then you will be subjected to a serious fine. Mr. and Ms. Smith, the evidence isn't there today. That's not to say it's not going to be there in the future. And I've all but given you and the city a handbook on how to monitor and how to prosecute this claim in the future. Now, all that having been said, let me also add, and I want to say it over here, I've always found the Caribbean Jacks folks appear to be very responsive to this situation. So I'm happy to report on those few instances in which I was on their property, they seemed very conscientious about not letting this happen. But things change. Different bands, different managers, and what have you. And all I'm doing is saying that you have a tough task, and you and the city, next time you bring one of these, I'm not trying to make it impossible. I'm giving you a how-to manual on how to do it. Okay? And I'm not trying to tell you the minute they're back in here, you lose. I'm just telling you, you got to be wary of the fact that you are there subject to a lot of restrictions that, like it or not, that you're forced to comply with. And right here is where the rubber meets the road between you two neighbors. And I don't consider these people to be unreasonable. I do consider them to be in a tough spot. Having a house right next to a commercial operation is what it is. They've done as much as they can. It's insufficient today. I'm just politely warning Loggerhead that you need to be wary of these folks. And quite frankly, you need to bend over backwards for them is what you need to do. I'm not trying to tell you how to do your business, but you need to coexist, and everyone's going to have to give a little bit. All right. Anyway, in any event, with that, I'm finding that the evidence presented was insufficient to sustain the imposition of a fine. And with that, good luck to y'all, and hopefully we won't see you again. If we do, things will be different. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor.
Good luck to you, sir. Case number 11, TLB Holdings, LLC, and Terrence Benn.
We don't have anyone here.
No, Ms. Angel.
Okay. Hold on a second, Mr. Picard. Have we had any contact with him? I mean, other than what we had here?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Picard, on this case, the city's going to need to amend what.
Case style.
There was a little confusion as to identifying the LLC. Terrence Ben appears to be correct. We had cited an LLC that was in the state of Florida, and they contacted us and notified us, and upon seeing the articles of organization and so forth, was able to determine that they were not the same LLC. Actually, this was an LLC formed in Georgia, in the state of Georgia. So we do need to amend as to our reference to the TLB Holdings LLC, and I'm not quite sure if I can look to Amy on what exactly that amendment should be. So the it would still be identified as TLB Holdings LLC, just referencing do you have that new, a different address? Okay, it would be referencing 6099 Lakeview Overlook, Lithonia, Georgia, 30038. And I'm sorry, I didn't realize just writing that. I'll say it again, 6099 Lakeview Overlook, Lithonia, Lithonia, Georgia, 30038.
So the only thing you want to amend is the address?
Yes. Now, as to Mr. Ben himself, we did get service on him.
I was able to contact his, I faxed the notice of violation to his registered agent.
Okay.
And I believe he's been in contact with Denzel since that happened.
Okay, who's registered agent?
Mr. Ben, he is TLB Holdings LLC.
And who's the registered agent?
E. Noreen Banks.
Okay.
I'm sorry, E. Noreen Banks dash Ware, W-A-R-E.
Okay, so what exactly are we asking for?
As far as the case file?
Where we go from there. Yeah. Other than that, we just want to make a finding of noncompliance. We just wanted to assure that he has been noticed through the registered agent. Actually, we'd probably be better off here. You don't have any return of actual service of the to the registered agent or to Mr. Ben, do you? We probably would be better off continuing this to ensure that we have adequate service of we've gotten a call back from him. He's acknowledged based upon her Amy's contact via fax. There has not been actual contact between he and the inspector. The inspector just has a voicemail message from him. So it probably would be a better solution for us in the long run to continue to ensure that we have proper service certified through certified mail.
So what do you want to do? Just continue?
Yeah, we'll just continue it to the next meeting.
All right.
Oh, well, with the amendment of the case,
continue
though.
Continue this matter to our November 8, 2011 meeting and order that the notice of violation be amended to reflect the address of the respondents as being 6099 Lakeview Overlook, Lithonia, Georgia, 30038. Take care of whatever you need.
That takes care of everything.
All right.
Thank
you. Case number 12, Ethel L. Gilmore.
Case is in compliance October
11, 2011. Very good.
Good.
Case number 13, KACS Acquisitions LLC.
It's in compliance as of October 11, 2011.
Case number 14, Johnny Van Sessions, I have as being in compliance.
Yes, that's correct.
Case number 15, Robert B. Irving.
Part of his compliance, the trash and debris has been cured. There is no current rental license for the property. The property is a rental.
All right. Not seeing a respondent. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by November 2, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for the imposition of the $250 administrative fine for failure to obtain occupational license. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's correct. Yes.
Case number 16, ADJ and SRJ Investments Incorporated.
My name is Darren Jaffruti. Yes, I do.
Okay, yes, sir. Your affiliation with ADJ and SRJ Investments Incorporated?
Yes, Your Honor.
What is your affiliation?
I'm the managing partner.
All right. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
If John would go ahead and be a little specific.
Okay, are we in agreement that any of these violations existed or occurred?
Yes, I am.
All right, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. All right, Mr. Inspector, how much time do you think it should take for the respondent to come into compliance?
Because I think it's necessary to give you some background on this case.
Okay.
This case started back in 6/25/10. Mr. Jaffruti has already been fined the $250 one time for not having an occupational license. In addition to that, as the pictures show, all of the other violations. When I respond out to the property for one tenant and they actually notice me there, that's when everyone comes out of the woodwork to have me inspect their property. We've already dealt with zoning on the issue of occupancy on the property. Mr. Jaffruti was advised to reduce occupancy to 6, and that was also done last year, which has not been done. Or rather, that was ordered last year. It still has not been done. we have open permits on the property that haven't been finaled. I've cited them for exterior surfaces, outside storage. It's quite a laundry list, and be quite honest, nothing has changed. In fact, it's gotten worse.
All right. So how much time should it take to come into compliance, taking into consideration all of that?
Your Honor, can I respond?
1 second.
Next cutoff.
Next cutoff is November 2. All right. What say Mr. Jaffruti?
Yes, we did. We have less than four tenants. It took some time to get some of them out of there. Okay, I'm trying to be cooperative with the city. I'm not blaming anybody for anything but myself. If we're talking about the exterior violations, is that what we're talking about right now, John?
We're actually talking about exterior surfaces.
Okay.
Broken windows. Screens.
What's the next cutoff?
Next cutoff's November 2.
What do I going to need a contractor for? A stucco, because we have the open permits.
Property, so all work on the property needs to be done by a contractor.
Contractor, would you be willing to extend it out 60 days?
Why don't you tell me how much time do you think it'll take you to get a contractor, get him in there, and get the work done? How long do you think that would take?
My preference would be 90 days, but
I understand that.
Now. I want to.
Is necessary, or can you get it done?
I can get it done less than that. I just don't want any more hang-ups, and I'd like to get this over with.
These units are occupied.
There's 4 tenants right now.
4 out of how many units?
There's 15 units. Okay, but I agreed to reduce them down to 6. See what I'm saying? And I believe that is it 4 right now? Is it? There's actually be 3.
Okay. You agreed to reduce them down to 6. What's that all about? How did that
come about? Well, there was a zoning issue as far as 15, and I was going to fight that based upon the fact that it was an equitable estoppel argument, and I previously did have an attorney, okay, and I did a cost analysis, and it's going to be, I feel, more preferable to have less tenants than deal with the situation.
Did the reduction in tenants cause you to be remodeling the premises, or are you just leaving 60% of it vacant?
Well, I'm going to go back to Colleen and the building department and see if we can expand the size of those units. But for right now, there's less than 4 tenants.
Okay. There's less than four tenants.
Correct. We had one die on us the other day.
To have six tenants?
My intent right now is to have six tenants, yes.
Okay, and the city knows where these six tenants are going?
The city has no idea. As of yesterday, there were more than six tenants there.
You want to respond?
You need to be sworn, sir. You're going to be testifying. State your name, please.
Jerry Gurley.
Can you spell your last name, please?
G-U-R-L-E-Y.
Can you step up to the microphone, please? Just tell him you swear in front of the testimony you're about to provide the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. We had four. The woman died 2 weeks ago, Saturday, that was in the fourth apartment. Miss Nancy Crotty.
So is it four or?
So
three?
Now we have three.
What's your basis for saying there were more than four?
I know for a fact that there's at least 7 to 8 tenants there. Every time I go to the property, at least 7 or 8 tenants.
Is that them coming out and telling you they reside there?
That's correct.
We did have a problem, okay, with unauthorized tenants, meaning they were breaking into the properties, okay? We did on occasion call the police department. They said it was a civil matter. We did get them out of there. I don't know, when was the last time you were out there, John?
10:10 yesterday.
Yeah, under no circumstances should there be many tenants.
The zoning issue as related to the number of tenants was an issue that went to the Board of Adjustment, and they did not give them the variance to allow for the additional tenants, and that was resolved back in February, I believe.
Well, we agreed to bring it. We didn't bring it before the Board of Zoning Adjustment. We backed off and said we'd go with six units.
So it's been half a year or more that we've been waiting for that to be a consistent adjustment as promised.
Okay, can somebody describe to me the nature and extent of the work that has to be done?
A licensed contractor would pretty much have to renovate each and every unit.
So we're talking about more than the exterior, or just the exterior?
More than the exterior. The interior is in.
And what needs to be done in the interior?
Each property, they all have to have heat. They don't. Interior surfaces, meaning floors, walls, ceilings, smoke detectors, plumbing, electrical work.
And Mr. McCall, if I can interrupt, what he cited for is the exterior, and he said for not having the rental off license, but you won't be able to get a rental off license until you take care of these things that the inspector is describing right now. I don't have an answer why he hasn't been cited for those, but
yes,
these additional items
in this one will be another case.
On this case, he's been cited for windows and doors, paint, exterior surfaces, and no occupational light.
Right, so he's been cited for the exterior stuff and not having an eye.
That's
but
correct.
To get the OC, he has all these interior things he needs to take care of.
That's correct.
Okay.
However, the likelihood of him obtaining that occupational license prior to him proving that it's been reduced to six or less, he still has to deal with zoning. And that's before he even addresses the code issues there.
Your Honor, I'm fully aware, you know, of what he's saying. I'd like to get these violations corrected. I'm usually pretty responsive. There's been other issues going on, and we've had a hard time with this property. I've been before this board before on a similar property on Madison, and we got it, you know, done on a timely basis. It's obviously going to take one step at a time.
Okay.
But I understand.
Neither of you are doing a very good job of giving me the information I need to ascertain how much time should reasonably be required for you to get compliance. Based on what I'm able to glean, it doesn't sound to me like it's going to happen by November 2 of 2011. I don't know that it's going to require 90 days, but neither one of you are giving me any detail as far as the quantum of work that needs to be done so I can try to ascertain how long it's going to take to do it. So I'm going to give each of you one more stab at it, then I'm going to pull a figure out of the sky and hope nobody's too mad.
I don't want to make any promises that I can't keep. 30 days may be pushing it to find a competent contractor, okay? I could definitely get it done in 60 days. I don't believe I need that much time. Okay.
90 days in this arena translates into January 4, 2012. 30 days is November 2. 60 days is December 7. Now, pick a date that you tell me that you need and that with reasonable certainty you can meet. December 7th or January 4th?
I'd like January 4th, but I...
And if I'm going to be generous on the front end...
I'm going to get it done before then.
I'm not going to be so generous on the back end.
I understand. And I would not, you know,
and
come up here and do it.
I can sense there's a little friction there.
There's a lot of friction.
And but I'm more interested in getting the building squared away.
Correct.
Squared away or fined into oblivion.
I understand.
Those are the options. All right. The property owner is suggesting he needs until January 4th of 2012 to bring the property into compliance. I'm inclined to take that into consideration since apparently this little expression, no occupational license, means a lot more than just coming down here and getting a license. You're talking about some interior work that I didn't see reflected on the notice of violation. I'm not suggesting it's not included. I just didn't see it reflected. So, taking the interior work that you have in mind into consideration as well, how much time to come into compliance?
To correct all of these violations, minus the occupational license, 45 days. Within those 45 days, Mr. Drafruti, or whoever his representative is going to be for the property, needs to contact the code enforcement office when permits, contractors have been lined up. Because, to be quite honest, the city has been dealing with this property for quite a while with no response and no compliance being brought forward. So we need to hold him close to the vest to ensure that he's going to do something. So 45 days for these cited violations minus the occupational license.
Why are we deleting the occupational license?
Because we know that it's going to take a lot more than just the exterior to obtain that occupational license.
Can I make a comment? I'm not aware of what they want on the interior, so I really cannot address that yet, okay?
Well, it sounds to me like they're handing you a gift.
Within 45 days, I mean, I haven't seen...
45 days to do the exterior.
Exterior.
About,
okay, yeah. 45 days to do the exterior is fine. I can get the exterior done in 45 days.
I mean, it sounds to me like the no occupational license is the pig in the poke that and nobody wants to...
I know, it's been messy. It's been messy. I mean, you know, I could make an equitable estoppel argument and pick a fight. I'm not interested in that.
Well, the question right now is, I guess what he's suggesting is in 45 days, and I don't know why. Okay, I guess 45 days would take you up to December 7th. So can you have the exterior in compliance by December 7th?
I see no reason not.
All right. Well, and then let's get back to the no occupational license suggestion. So what are we doing then with the occupational license?
First he needs to go down and apply for it again because the last one was denied by zoning. He has to satisfy zoning.
Okay, what is the problem with zoning?
The property was vacant before he purchased it. It was vacant for longer than 6 months, which means it lost its multi-use zoning.
Multi-family?
Multi-family. We have two structures, 15 units total.
So it's non-conforming?
It's non-conforming if you utilize the entire property.
Okay.
As living space.
Hence the reduction down to 6 units?
Correct.
All right, now I'm with you.
After he gets that reduction down, he's got to deal with zoning. You have to apply for a variance.
A variance to do what?
Because now you're going to have three buildings. Three huge buildings, but only 6 units total can be occupied. So you got to do something with the rest of the building. He's got to do something with the rest of the property. I mean, if it's just going to be 6, you can almost do that in one building. In addition to that, after he gets past the zoning hurdle, he's got to get through the building department, which is the information you were just asking about the interior and all the other things that are going to be needed to bring the property into compliance.
If I can have one moment with the inspector, Mr. McCullough.
After having spoken with the supervisor, Mr. Kelch, what the city would like to do is we believe we really need to bifurcate this proceeding and just go ahead and drop the no arc license violation right now. And the reason is we all know that we can and probably ought. These violations have arisen through tenant complaints. We have knowledge of the violations internally, and we can cite those violations individually and not rely solely on the occupational license violation if Mr. Jafruti is not taking care of them. And so at this time, we'd like to deal with the external violations, give him the 45 days, keep it close, get the assurance that he's doing in good faith, getting the contractors and the permits necessary and moving forward to address those items in good faith, and then we can make a decision subsequent as it relates to the ARC license. He knows he has to have one. We know he has to have one, but we also know he has tons and tons of violations. And quite honestly, what we're being told by permits at this point is that he's very, very far from an ARC license. If we keep the case open solely for a ARC license, we may be going into what I'm hearing never, but it's probably an extremely long time.
Okay, well, let me get back to the basics here. This is the city's notice of violation. It sounds to me as though they are waiving, without any prejudice, of course, the notice of occupational license for rental. So that's no longer in the equation. So now the remaining violations are windows, doors, peeling paint, exterior surfaces. The city has said 45 days should be ample time in order to come into compliance on those items. What say you?
I agree.
The important, excuse me.
All right, well, 45 days takes us up to November 25th, so that inevitably takes us to December 7th. So you're getting a gift here. You're getting closer to 60 days.
Thank
so
you.
I assume you don't have anything to complain about there.
No.
All right. Anything else that anybody wanted to add before I finish this up?
The normal stuff. If we hear from his, he has his contractors in place. He has his permits. We hear from the contractors that there's some reason why there's a delay, and it's reasonable. Obviously, he can make contact with the inspector, and the inspector can consider those any kind of reasonable reasonable delay if he's going forward in good faith.
All right. Having found the respondent noncompliance, I order the respondent to come into compliance with everything but the requirement regarding the no occupational license by December 7th. 2011 or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Anything else I need to address?
Just make sure the contractor contacts me.
Okay.
Very good.
Hello.
All right, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Mr. Gurley, do you have a son named Steve Gurley?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Good business with a Steve Gurley. I was just wondering if you knew him. All right, good luck to you.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Case number 17, Horace Smith Jr. Anyone here for the respondent?
I'm sorry. That's compliance, 1010.
Case number 18, Daniel W. Chambers. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Chambers. As of, excuse me, as of 10-3, he's in non-compliance.
Based on the inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to commit compliance by November 2, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for imposition of the $250 administrative fine for failure to obtain occupational license.
Mm-hmm. He is scheduled for rental inspection on 11-4.
Very good. Back up and say that again.
11-4, he's scheduled for a rental inspection.
And I just put in a phone to come into compliance by 11-2.
Okay.
Right there.
Can you reschedule? Or
Actually, just give it more time because I'm anticipating the case being closed before it comes back.
All right, let me amend my previous order to allow the respondent until December 7, 2011 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for imposition of the $250 administrative fine for failure to obtain occupational license. December 19th, Meena Ramasamy.
Yes, she is here.
Ms. Smith, if you would please state your name and be sworn.
Meena Ramasamy. Meena Ramasamy. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should should it take to come into compliance?
They should be done by the next cutoff.
All right. Ms. Ramasamy, the inspector indicates that he thinks you ought to be able to come into compliance by November 2 of 2011. What do
yes.
you think?
Yes.
All right. Think you may be able to do that?
Yes.
All right, then I'll go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by November 2, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 the day thereafter. Good luck to you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
Nice
to meet you.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Good to meet you. All right, anything else? I have a question. The
pending.
Yes. The internet, whatever. I'm not making a legal ruling, am I?
I'm not sure what that means.
I have no desire to trespass into your domain. You're the city attorney. And I guess what I'm curious about is I'm not really coming up with a legal ruling per se, am I?
A legal ruling? You mean anything beyond a determination of compliance and noncompliance? I'm not sure what you're asking. Or a determination of whether they're a right to enjoy.
Let me try it this way, and please don't get mad at me. You have given me your legal opinion. You're the city attorney. Okay? Now, I've got another attorney who's also writing, and the memorandum that I was interested in, and I've got the information I need, don't misunderstand me. But the memorandum I was contemplating went more to the factual scenario and how it dovetails into the regulations that we were talking about, specifically the statute that I knew nothing about. And I guess maybe this is more of a rhetorical question, but I mean, it's not my desire to trespass into the city attorney's domain. I'm assuming I'm not doing that. I guess what I'm doing is I'm taking both of y'all's arguments regarding the law as it exists and then applying that to the facts and arriving at my own determination at that point. Okay.
Maybe a way to think about it, and one of the ways I tend to think,
I don't want to go trespassing into your area.
Right. One of the ways I think about it from the perspective of the appellate standard, which is the question of competent substantial evidence, essential requirements of law followed, and that may be the question you're asking as you look at the law and due process. So you're probably we were probably left with those two questions, not the due process question, but maybe even that, but all three in one sense or another are things that you probably would be satisfied that were met to be able to make your ultimate ruling, that you have substantial competent evidence, that due process was followed, and that followed essential requirements of law. Now, that determination of what essential requirements of law is, that may be the question you're asking in terms of the proper interpretation of the law. We tend to make the argument, you know, historically that it's our law, we determine what our law is, if that's what you're asking.
Very good. All right. Okay, anything else to talk about?
Nothing else.